We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. Happy Monday. Starting off a new week here, the NBA Front Office Show, bringing you all the latest going on in the world of professional basketball. I'm Trevor Lane, joined by Keith Smith. Keith, I found over the weekend, with March Madness going on, I didn't know if this was a thing, if there was an upper limit to my basketball watching. I found out there is. I hit my basketball saturation point. I had to step away from basketball a little bit on Sunday before the Lakers played and go watch some other stuff. So we have found it. I didn't know if it existed. Apparently, even I have basketball watching limits.
I love it. I don't have basketball watching limits, but I definitely have college basketball watching limits.
Yes, and that may be
mine landed at about, I would say probably five-ish on Saturday when I was like, I can't do any more college. I needed the Magic Kings game to tip off so badly at 7 p.m. Eastern. I was just like, let's just get me there. Get me back to the NBA. So I love the tournament. Like, it's been great. It was great to dial in on some of the teams and players that I haven't seen a ton of, or I've watched like their possessions only and those kind of things. The full college basketball days, I'd had enough. That said, give me games at noon anytime you want to give me games. I'll take noon. I just can't do all day college hoops.
Yep. Yeah, I'm right there. I'm glad it's not just me, because I had a feeling. I'm like, I bet Keith just powered through and just watched 48 hours of basketball all weekend, and that was all he did. But but I'm glad to hear that you also have your limits. Makes me feel a little bit better.
I mean, I did that, but it just wasn't all college. I moved on to moved in back into my comfort zone of the NBA.
All right, well, let's get into some NBA news here. This is, you know, we talked about this a little bit right before we came on air here, but I'm a little bewildered by this. The story that's now suddenly popping up again. The Nets turned down Jalen Green and first for Mikal Bridges. As though this is something new. I thought we knew this back at the trade deadline. This was, I seemed, unless I dreamed this or something, I thought we already discussed this topic, but now suddenly it's becoming a thing again. It's, I would have to imagine it's because the Rockets are on this win streak and Jalen Green's been playing extremely well. This is now popping back up. Or am I misremembering our rumors at this point?
Yeah, you're definitely not misremembering. It was out there, and it was, yeah, Jalen Green, and it was it three first? Was it two first?
I think
was
so.
It two real first and a fake first, like protected first? What was sure. It? But it was something in that range. So yeah, you're not misremembering that. That was a pretty widely reported that the Nets said no, and it was the Nets' own first going back to them was a big part of this deal, because the Rockets were clearly. Must have felt like, hey, we could get Mikal Bridges. We'll plug him in with Dylan Brooks. Now we've, you know, taken care of our wing spot. He would have, you know, basically take Jalen Green's position in the lineup. But yeah, you know, I guess, and it's exactly what you said. It's a combination of Nets aren't playing very well, Rockets are playing very well, and Jalen Green is also playing very well. That's kind of brought all this back up to the forefront.
Keith, Jalen Green, the month of March, 28 points, 6 boards, 3.5 assists, shooting 51% from the field and 42% from three. He has not historically been a high efficiency guy. Everything is dropping for him right now. He's got it going. And so that's where it makes sense. If you're a Nets fan, you're probably bemoaning, why didn't we just do this and get this guy? Rockets fans may be breathing a sigh of relief right now that you didn't give up that future draft capital and everything else, especially in this incredible run that Houston has been on. So are we looking at this now saying, oh my gosh, the Nets, they should have done this deal? Or do you think the Nets still feel okay with their decision to stick with Bridges?
Yeah, I'm guessing it's one where the Nets, you have to feel okay, and you better be okay with not having done this, and that you're going to be able to build a team around Mikal Bridges. But as you and I have talked many, many times, Mikal Bridges is not a 22-year-old player. Like he's older than people realize, and you're going to have to, if you're going to build a winner around him, you're going to have to do that sooner rather than later. And you have to feel okay with it. But yeah, I thought at the time that's a deal I probably would have done. I like Mikal Bridges a lot. I don't know that I like Mikal Bridges as a number one guy to be building my franchise around. I just don't think he's that kind of player. I would more see him maybe a high end number two, but definitely a very high end number three type of player. And you're on the clock with his contract. He's going to need a new contract relatively soon. So it's all those things add up. You're just in a spot where either he needs to blossom into that number one guy, or you need to really get moving on building this around him. And I don't know that for the Nets, they're in position to do any of that right now. So I would have rather have had, hey, give me my picks back. Let me kind of, take another run at my own future at this and figure it all out. But yeah, and on the flip side, I can understand why the Rockets were making this push too, because at the time they were sitting around 500 right around the trade deadline, playing pretty well. Then they had that big slide. Mm-hmm. Then they've kind of come back and really figured it out. They, not that I'm trying to make this a Celtics point, but they've got the second longest win streak in the league right now. Boston's won 9 in a row and the Rockets have won 8. So, I mean, they're playing great. They put the pressure on the Warriors. They're a game behind the Warriors. So they're right there for that final play-in spot, which is unbelievable considering a week or two ago, it looked like, all right, this is all wrapped up as far as who the 10 teams will be.
But yeah, we're just especially with no Alper and Sengun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the other thing. I will say this too. They're not better without him. They've hit a pretty good patch in the schedule. They've played very, very well. As we said, Jalen Green is playing out of his mind right now. But I don't want anybody to start taking this too well. Maybe Sengun shouldn't be signed, and all the sort of stuff will start hearing any day now.
No. Let's not lose our minds here, people. Sengun is absolutely fantastic. But if you're a Nets fan, you're probably feeling some kind of way. Right? Like you're probably wishing they had just done this deal. But again, I think we always, and you kind of mentioned already, we don't know, was it three firsts, but they were all heavily protected or something? You know, were they totally unprotected first, and then you could really be upset? We don't know exactly what that looked like. That can change the value of first-round picks wildly. So if all we know is it was Jalen Green plus some number of first-round picks, there's fake first-round picks, there's unprotected first-round picks, the value anywhere in between, I mean, we don't know exactly what that looked like. So that could certainly change things in this calculation quite a bit. But bottom line, had the Nets been getting their picks back, all of them, with David Putney, then they probably should have done this deal.
I want this team's future back. All of
them. I want my picks back. Let's jump over to the Clippers. Russell Westbrook returning from a broken hand. I believe this is even a little bit early that he's coming back from his broken hand. But he's coming back to a Clippers team that could certainly use him. I mean, right now sitting in the four seed, but the Pelicans breathing down their necks, just half a game back. The Pelicans may have some incentive to try to move up to that four, because it looks like we're heading towards a Pelicans Clippers first round matchup. But if the Pelicans get up to four, that's home court. That's home court that we're talking about there. So The Pelicans are right there. They're pushing the Clippers right now, and the Clippers need all the help they can get at the moment. So Russell Westbrook coming back, even recovering, I believe, a little bit early from this broken hand. That would be a positive for a Clippers team that needs to start stacking up some wins.
Yeah, the Clippers went through that period where, like, they were absolutely dominant for a good stretch there. And then they kind of hit the post-All-Star break and have just been – they're, like, okay. Like, they're like, playing 500 basketball basically since – I guess it was just before the All-Star break. So I don't know exactly what to make of them anymore. I feel still confident. It's funny because this was something I think Ryan Russillo brought this up, and he's like, "Do I believe in the Clippers that won something like, I want to say they won like 26-5 or something like that, or do I believe in the Clippers that have basically been 500 for two different chunks of the season?" He's like, "I don't know what to really fully focus on." One thing that I do know is they need Russell Westbrook. Because their game that they lost yesterday, the 76ers, was a perfect example. They just had nothing. They had no juice. There was no energy, no life. And we know, even if it is chaotic and not always great, Russ is going to bring you energy to the floor. Whenever he gets on the floor, he's going to have one of those plays where he grabs a rebound, he goes 100 miles per hour to the other end of the floor. And if he makes the shot, everybody's going to get lifted and the crowd's going to get into it and off you go. But that game against the Sixers, they had nothing. They had no legs, no juice, really played very, very poorly. It was an early start on the West Coast for them, so we get that part of it. But, yeah, they need Russ back in the lineup. I think getting him back, and maybe they are kind of turning their eyes towards, all right, we're not going to catch Nuggets, Thunder, or Wolves at the top of the conference, so let's just kind of put it in cruise control. We'll try to stay in front of the Pelicans as best we can. I don't know. Maybe they also feel like we're not that worried about going to New Orleans. Maybe we can win. But it's definitely – I feel less good about them than I did a month or so ago.
Absolutely. And, you know, looking at the strength of schedule here, the Pelicans have the fourth most difficult schedule remaining, but the Clippers have the ninth. So I don't think they can just – if the Clippers had like the 25th or something, then they'd feel pretty good, right? But they don't. So – This is going to be a very real race to watch down the stretch here. This race for the 4 or 5 position. Again, I think they are on a collision course towards each other here. But nonetheless, I think this is going to be an interesting battle to watch. Pelicans, Clippers, who really wants? And I guess that's the other question here, Keith. Do the Pelicans might really want home court? I don't know if the Clippers feel like they need home court to beat the Pelicans.
Yeah, I think that's very accurate. I think the Clippers are feeling like we can go there, we can win, and we can kind of go. One thing I will say, I don't know if the Pelicans are a great matchup for them, because the Clippers, it seems weird to put it this way, because they have pretty good size wings, they have good size guards, but they play one big. And Zion can get stuff done against them as long as they can get him the ball on the move, get him going downhill. They don't have a lot that can challenge him. So that becomes one of the challenges for them stopping New Orleans. So considering it looks like we maybe are on a path towards that being the first round matchup, I would happily take it, because I think there's a lot of fun stuff in there to break down and work through. It sounds like maybe too, just to kind of put it out there, we're not like overlooking the Suns, the Kings, and the Mavs. Suns and Kings, though, both have very difficult schedules left, extremely difficult. Suns have the hardest schedule left in the league. The Kings have the third hardest. Poor Charlotte Hornets somehow fell into the middle there, second, and they already stink. So there's lots of losses coming in Charlotte. And then Dallas is a little further down. So if anything, Dallas could be the team that could maybe slide their way up into the sixth slot. It's just more they're probably not in the range to get all the way up to four. They could be. Things could happen. But once you start getting down around 10, 11, 12 games, making up a three-game deficit is really hard, because even if you go something like 9-3, you need the other team to go 6-6 to pull that off.
And that's the problem. And I highlighted this on X yesterday, as well as over on Threads, that you look at the Western Conference. Now, yesterday it looked more ominous because the Clippers lost last night and the Thunder lost last night. But there was a point where every team 1 through 11 in the West was on a win streak except for the Warriors. They were the only team. They had just lost. I think they lost a game or maybe they lost two. Yeah, they lost one game at that point when I had screenshot of that. And so that's where it's especially difficult to really make any kind of upward movement in the standings if everyone around you is winning. You know, people get, Keith, you've seen, I put it out there on social media. I put out there, hey, here's what Lakers fans are rooting for today. Here's the teams that we need to lose. Here's what the Lakers need in order to, you know, to win, to try to move on and all that. And people get so offended and so upset. Oh, you should just focus on your own team. And that's all that matters. No. You know why? Because math. That's why. If everyone around you is winning, you can win as many games as you want. It doesn't matter. You're not moving if everyone around you is winning. So you need certain outcomes. So like you're talking about with the Dallas Mavericks, the potential is there. You can see they're only a half a game back from the sixth seed. The potential is there for them to move up. But not only do they have to win, they need the Suns to lose. They need some of these other teams have to lose in order for teams to move up and have any kind of upward mobility. And that's why we predicted how tight the West would be and how we might see a lot of jockeying for position. There hasn't been quite as much as you would think, but it's because everybody keeps winning. And so you don't have, oh, this team's jumping up two spots today because they won and three other teams lost. That's not happening right now.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And in both conferences, if you look down towards the bottom part, like, look, Jazz, 5 straight losses. Trailblazers, yeah. 6 straight. Spurs, 3 straight. It's the same way in the East. The Hornets have lost 4. The Raptors have lost 10 in a row. The Nets have lost 6. Pistons have lost 6. The Wizards somehow have won 2 in a row. But it is – that's where these teams are just – they're piling up wins, these bad teams. And it's not even – people are going to go, well, yeah, they're tanking. I don't even think it's that bad. I think they're just bad. I think those teams are all just bad. I think that's why they're all losing these games. So it really is, you know, these teams are just picking up wins. One interesting thing, and it hadn't jumped out to me until this morning when I was really looking at the standings. In the Western Conference, the difference between the Nuggets, who are now at the top of the conference, and the Lakers is 11 games. Yeah. That is the same as the distance between the Celtics and the Bucks at the top of the East.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's how far ahead Boston is. Like, it's unbelievable. And I know you're using ESPN, and I use ESPNs too.
Yeah.
Apparently, they ESPN still has something noted somewhere where Boston has not clinched the East. The NBA's official standings pages now say they have with that. So, and it seems like it was some weird thing where – somebody lost, and there could have been like a 7-team involved tiebreaker or something, but they have them noted as clinching the division, but not the conference yet. But they have clinched the conference, according to
I mean,
as far as we can tell.
There's not enough games left for
Have 11 games left. Milwaukee could tie them. There was apparently some kind of tiebreaker out there that could have swung the Bucks' way, but it doesn't seem like it. Regardless, if Boston wins tonight over the Hawks, and we'll see, because the Celtics are basically playing three dudes in the bench every game. But if they can win that game, that'll wrap it up. Then they can take care of business tonight themselves.
Well, speaking of which, Drew Holiday is dealing with an AC joint sprain. But as you said, though, the Celtics are, and as they should be, they are full rest mode right now. They've got guys popping up on the injury report left and right, sitting them out, getting them ready for the playoffs here. What is it, 11 games, 12 games left for Boston, 11. Something like that? 11 games left. So that's what we should expect to see from here on out. They're going to, and this is why when we talk also about strength of schedule, if you see a team that has Boston, so for example, Sacramento, they've got a game against Boston. New Orleans has a game against Boston. OKC has a game against Boston. A few weeks ago, that might have been a big deal. Mm-hmm. Now that might be significantly more winnable than it was a few weeks ago, because who knows who the Celtics are actually going to put out there on the floor. And the same is going to be true as other teams start to lock in their playoff positioning. Yep. Always something to factor in when we look at strength of schedule. But you and I talked a little bit already before we came on the air. You believe Drew Holiday, this AC joint sprain situation, this is not just, hey, you have a injury, let's get some rest.
Yeah, so like the Celtics have been listing Kristaps Porzingis with hamstring maintenance, Jason Tatum has an ankle thing, Jaylen Brown, it vacillates between his back, his ankle, I think he's had hamstring listed, Al Horford's had basically everything except the old Tim Duncan old.
The league did not like that.
No, the league did not like that. And that's otherwise, I think that probably would be the case. Holidays is a little different. He got in a game against the Wizards. This is now over a week ago. He got crunched on one of those double elevator screens where it just got hammered and immediately didn't separate his shoulder or anything, but went right to the shoulder. And he told the Boston Globe this week, he's dealing with a dead arm. And this is the first time the Celtics have come out and said it's an AC joint sprain, which is a shoulder sprain. Nobody believes this is going to be a long-term thing. He should be fine. He should be back. And obviously the Celtics need him. He's been a huge part of the team. But this is the benefit of rolling through people. It's funny because I did see somebody say, well, was someone going to comment about the Celtics wins as of late? Well, sure, but they're beating everybody. So it's not like – they didn't just get fat on bad teams. What is nice to see, as someone who covered this team for years and years and obviously still watches with a keen interest, they aren't playing with their food either. They're beating these teams, even when they're sitting a bunch of guys. They're still hammering teams. And there have been a lot of bad ones. Don't get me wrong. There's been a bunch of bad teams in there. But the Celtics are playing, like I said, it's like, all right, these three guys will play tonight. These three guys will sit. And then they're still winning these games by 20 and 30 points. So they're just really good. There's not a lot more to say.
Yeah. I mean, they beat during this stretch, they beat Phoenix, they beat Milwaukee. Like there's wins against Chicago, Detroit twice, Washington, Utah, Portland. There's all those in there, but you beat Phoenix twice. You know, you beat the Warriors. I blew out the Warriors. Oh my gosh. Bludgeon the Warriors. That's still, I know this happened. And looking at that score is still it makes you stop and go, wait, 140-88. Good Lord.
Yeah. And that was their second 50-point win of the year.
That's
they also beat the Pacers by 51.
That's not varsity playing JV. That's varsity playing the eighth grade. Right. I mean, that's absurd.
Yeah. This is just, since we're on the topic, they're 20-2. In their last 22 games. So they've absolutely been killing it. You can go back further and kind of start to extrapolate that into you know, and then they're, you know, then they lost one more and then they won two more. So they were 22-3 and, you know, all kinds of things like that. But this win streak, which is nine games right now, it's their sixth win streak this year that is five games or more. So they are like rolling through it. And when you start looking at historical stuff with the point differential and all that, if they don't win the championship this year, it is a monumental failure. Because everything points to they should win the title, and we do, that should be the expectation. There's no reason anybody should have any expectation other than win the championship. Things can happen, of course, we know that. But if there's year. Moderate health, they should win the title. Just that's how good they've been. Will they? I don't know. We'll talk in 3 months and know that answer.
Keith, you say all of that, but you also know that if the Celtics lose their next game, there's going to be upset Celtics fans.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Who cares that they won nine in a row?
I mean, that's that happened tonight. Last loss that they had. They lost twice. They had the Cavs game where they blew a big lead because Dean Wade apparently had an out-of-body experience and channeled, prime Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James all mixed together and just dominated, along with like clutch Reggie Miller shooting skills. The Monstars fully took over. And then they lost to Denver, and everybody's like, that's it, I'm out. I can't trust this team. But you know what? Those exact same people are like, I told you guys they're a wagon. People just get crazy. People like to say crazy stuff.
All right. Speaking of people getting crazy, Chris Dunn, Jabari Smith Jr., suspended because they threw punches at each other on the floor. Chris Dunn gets two games. Jabari Smith gets one game. Houston and Utah playing the other day. And they this is what happens when you're fighting on the court. I don't know. Is this just, it's so late in the season, teams start to get a little bit cranky. I know there was a little bit of a history where they had an issue before when these two teams played. But still, this is a suspension and not ideal for the Rockets, who are playing great basketball right now, but not ideal for the Rockets to now have to miss Jabari Smith Jr. for a game. The Jazz are pretty much out of it. So it's not catastrophic for their season or anything like that. But Jabari Smith being out for the Rockets, that could actually matter as they're trying to chase down the Warriors.
Yeah, and Jabari Smith Jr. has been the starting five for the Rockets when Şengün went down. So they'll plug in Jock Landale. They'll play Jeff Green more. Maybe Boban will see meaningful minutes. Who knows? But it's one game. They should be okay.
And they play Portland tonight. So
yeah, they play Portland. So it's, Portland is, we're going to have another good news Portland update. But if anybody's wondering where the Trailblazers are at, they started five rookies in their last game.
Yeah.
So kind of gives you a sense where things are at in Portland right now. Chris Dunn, though, this is now Chris Dunn is, he's the cool story. He, made it back, right? Went the G League route, really, just kind of got back, right? Rebuilt his career and got back into it. What's funny is he got into it with Luka earlier this year. Like he's an agitator. And if that's what he needs to do to be in the league, that's what he's going to do. So in a couple people I saw on social media when this came out yesterday, we're like, well, why did Jabari Smith only get one game? Chris Dunn started it, and then he threw a punch. Jabari Smith Jr. threw a punch back, and that's why Chris Dunn got two and Jabari Smith Jr. only got one.
Yeah, which makes sense. Makes sense. All right, so you talked about Portland. Shaedon Sharpe is going to be returning, which is great. And again, their season is effectively done. Like you said, they started five rookies, but this is about, he's been dealing with a core muscle injury. This is about getting back out there on the floor, getting your confidence back, getting some game reps in, and then you can hit your off-season training program as close to 100% as possible, kind of in rhythm, so to speak, and off you go for what's going to be, a big summer for the Blazers. So this is a positive for them, of course. No, they're not in the playoff mix or anything like that, but getting back on the floor, getting some reps in, that can be important in terms of not necessarily this season, but perhaps hitting next season with some momentum.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you want to see Anfernee Simons is in and out of the lineup right now. My guess is that's probably one of those, these games really mattered. He'd probably be playing, but whether he plays or not, you'd like to see Scoot Henderson get some time with Shaedon Sharpe and see what it looks like, because Shaedon Sharpe's only played in, I believe it's 32 games this season, which is, after playing 80 as a rookie, that's obviously disappointing. So in Shaedon Sharpe did show definite signs of improvement. Some of it was more minutes, bigger role, but a lot of it was real, actual, tangible improvement. So you just want to get a look with the kids together and see what it looks like. And if you can get 5-6 games of that down the stretch, great. You know, I do kind of wonder if Shaedon Sharpe, let's say he can't come back or he only comes back for a couple games, he seems like a guy we could see make I call it the cameo appearance at Summer League, where he shows up, he plays like the first game or two, and then that's it. And he shows up, scores 35 points, and it's like, this guy's too good for this. And then leaves.
I kind of think he's already there. I think he's too
good. Yeah, he probably is. That would more be a, hey, you missed a lot of time, let's get a couple more reps. Or it might even be a, hey, we want to see you facilitate more, you know, on the ball. We just want to see you and Scoot play a couple games together, because I imagine Scoot will be there. He's been better than I think people give him credit for. And I think people just lose patience with point guards, and they shouldn't. But yeah, it just wouldn't shock me if we saw that.
All right, Tom Thibodeau is talking extension with the Knicks. Keith, from my understanding, those discussions so far have lasted the full 48 minutes. They've gone the entire time. Tom Thibodeau has not subbed himself out at all, which is par for the course for him. But he is talking extension with the Knicks. Look, I think the Knicks have had given the injuries they've suffered this year and are still dealing with. They've had a pretty successful season. It feels like they are on the upswing. It did seem like they found something when they got OG Anunoby into the mix. Now, if they can just get everybody healthy, maybe that can actually turn into something here. But this is a Knicks team that they play hard every night. They don't get beat because of lack of effort, that's for sure. They fly all over the place. They make your life hell on the boards, regardless of who's on or off the floor for them. And so I think this is justified for the Knicks to be talking extension with Tom Thibodeau. And I think this is a franchise that's on the rise right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't have anything to add to Tibbs other than get it done, get him signed. Yep. If we're going to talk extensions, how good does the Deuce McBride extension look now?
Ooh, right?
Like, yeah, he did. For those who don't remember, Deuce McBride got $13 million over 3 years, not per year, total. So 4.7 next year, 4.3, and then 3.9 in the final season. Like, that is less than the new taxpayer mid-level. Mm-hmm. That's like half the room exception amount. And he's starting right now because they've got so many injuries. But you just locked in your point guard spot for at least the next couple of seasons with him and Jalen Brunson. And then obviously Brunson will be up for a new deal. Maybe even as soon as the summer, we'll see. But it could be coming on the heels of that. But yeah, like unbelievable. How well McBride has been, and the fact that they are playing basically four guard lineups around one big and hanging in these games, we'll see. I'm a little worried about OG Anunoby, like, only made it back for a couple games. Now he's been out like a week or so. Julius Randle still not cleared for contact. I'm a little worried. Not gonna panic yet, but a little worried, because that, if you have those two guys, you're a completely different team to deal with in the playoffs. And if you only have one of them, or if you're missing both of them, that becomes a whole different thing.
Yeah. And that's just it. They've suffered so many injuries this season. Mitchell Robinson is back in practice. So that's okay. Yeah, great. That's good. So hopefully you hope they get these guys back, because they need them back if they're going to make any kind of a run here in the postseason. But man, time's running out. And that's really the case for all of these teams. When we talk about any little injury right now can be a season ender. Anything that lingers right now could effectively end your season. I mean, the Knicks, they're just half a game up on the Magic. They're only half a game back from the Cavs. They need their guys back. They need them healthy right now. And it feels like it's been a long wait here for the Knicks to actually get their players back in action.
Yeah, and the Cavs don't want to hear it with injuries, right? Because they've gone through it themselves.
No,
but the reality is, had the Knicks had their guys, they probably would have caught Cleveland. Now you can play that game. Well, if Cleveland had their guys, they're probably not even close. So, which is also a fair point. But yeah, I mean, that's a battle right now for the 3-4-5. And it's funny because you really want to be three because you want to get on the opposite side of the bracket from the Celtics if you can avoid it. In the 4-5, like that's, you know, just then now you're fighting for home court advantage in that matchup. So yeah, lots to still be decided there, which is a lot of fun.
All right, let's finish with this positive story here. Lonzo Ball looks like he's going to return next season. Keith, this is very much welcome news. And who knows if this means the beginning of the season or what, but you know, there was a point there where the conversations we were having about Lonzo Ball, we were talking more about the quality of his life, like day to day, just being able to move around and play with your kids and stuff like that, more than can you get on a basketball court. So hearing that he's going to be back next season, I believe it's now been two full seasons that he's been out for, or at least it's been a half a season and a full season. I have to go back and look at the exact injury timeline, but
January he's been out 14th, for, 2022.
Yeah. So there you go.
That's the last time we played. Yep.
I mean, this is great news that he's going to be back out there on the floor for the Bulls at some point next season. Of course, unless they trade him, I forget who had it, but there was just kind of a casual mention of there was no interest in Lonzo Ball's contract at the trade deadline this past year. That at least tells you the Bulls were willing to listen to something there, but would have to imagine that if he's going to continue his career, he's going to have to get out there on the floor, prove himself this next season, and then contractually everything else will kind of go from there.
Yeah, and that'll change a little bit. He's a lock. He's going to pick up his option, $21.4 million player option. There's no way, having not played in a year and a half, that he would let that go by. Sure. So that'll definitely get picked up. And then the question becomes with Lonzo Ball is, I guess, I guess 2.5 years, right? It's actually how long it's been since I've played. Because it's an expiring contract, it just becomes that much more likely to be moved. Like that is the difference, right? Like that's the thing that becomes very different versus it's at the trade deadline, you're taking on 20 and a half this year and then 21 next year. Now you're talking just 21 million. Maybe you move a contract that runs a year or two longer that you don't like on your books. It's the same thing for half the money as Ben Simmons, right? It's the same conversation of, I don't know how much I'm worried about what this guy does on the court, but a trade, sure, let's make it happen.
You know, that's just it, is even with the expiring contract, and I do think expirings have value in the NBA. We saw it this past year at the trade deadline. Expiring contracts do matter. But that's it. That's all he's not, like, the Bulls are not going to get any credit for what Lonzo could be as a player. And that's just the unfortunate reality. Now, if you're the Bulls and you really say, hey, we've got this expiring contract, I do wonder, because right now his value is just expiring and that's it. It's just the expiring contract, nothing for what he can do on the floor. I do wonder if you're the Bulls, unless you get a great deal this summer, I'm not saying they even have to move him, they don't, but unless you get a great deal this summer, it may be worth it just to bring him into the season, see if he can get on the floor and see if that expiring contract does have a little bit more value at the trade deadline once he's on the court and he's playing and he's actually showing something. Again, your downside, though, is right where you're at right now, because right now he's just a contract and that's it. Even if he gets on the floor and he can't play or he doesn't get on the floor, then the value is still the same. It's just an expiring contract at the trade deadline and that's it. So it may behoove the Bulls to hold off and see if the value of his deal can actually go up, because he can come back and get back to being, you know, close to the player that he once was.
Yeah, without a doubt. There's no reason for them to take a bad deal. There's no reason to just straight up waive him or anything like that. Like, yeah, you just see where it's at, because you're absolutely right. There's nothing is going to change as far as a team saying, hey, we'll take his $21 million expiring and we'll make it work there. Like that will not change. And the other nice thing too is, because of the emergence of Coby White, who has been really, really good this year. And Ayo Dosunmu has played pretty well in the 2+ years that Lonzo's been out. You're in a spot where now all of a sudden you can start to kind of get into a place where, hey, all you got to give us is 15 minutes a night off the bench, at least initially. Show you're healthy. You'll work your way back in and we'll kind of figure it out from there. It feels like there's a lot of unanswered questions for this Bulls team. There's sure. just what's going to happen with DeMar DeRozan. Does he extend? Does he go to free agency? You know, where does it go? And I'm sure Bulls fans are like, we already know how this plays out. They're going to sign everybody and just run it back with this team none of us really like. And the guys we do like will probably get pushed into bench roles and we'll all be angry because that's just what it seems like has happened to them. But like, is Zach LaVine, does he get traded this summer? Like, where's his trade value? So there's just a lot of stuff going on there.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, but there's also a lot of stuff not going on, yeah. right? The things Bulls fans want to see are not happening yeah. right now in Chicago. Windy City woes for sure right now.
And credit where credit's due. They've played better down. You know, they lost their last couple, but they had been playing pretty good, you know, over the last month or so. So we'll see, you know, what it looks like. I have a feeling they're going to beat the Hawks in the 9-10 game. And then whoever they get in the game for the eighth seed, they'll probably have them on the rope some point in the second half, and then it'll probably just go sideways to finish. And it'll probably be Miami because that's what the Heat do, and then it'll be Celtics Heat, and every Celtic fan will be like, not this again. I can't deal with this. This is just, you know, terrible, and I don't want to see it. So,
I mean.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like, if there was ever a season to have confidence that the Celtics are not going to struggle against the Heat this time, it would be this season, right?
No matter
what, you always are going to want the easiest path to the finals. But this, I know this has been an issue in the past, but this should not trip them up. It shouldn't.
But we know what the Heat do come playoff time, so that's true. We'll see. Yeah,
that's true.
We'll see. Still ways to go. Maybe they're not even in the play-in tournament. They're only, it's funny, people are acting like that's all decided. And it's like, them and Philly are only a half game behind Indiana. So, like, that's still, you know, a race there. I will say, Mark Stein covered, like, he said this is the version of March Madness he likes, which is like how there's all these different standings races, which is the cool thing with the play-in tournament. He covered that over on his Substack. On our Substack, go check it out. Cody Williams, guy who was actually in the NCAA tournament, he's a very polarizing player. Let's just put it that way. Somebody I know Bryce has pretty mixed feelings on. Bryce Simon, though, wrote up his Cody Williams, his raw notes on Cody Williams from a scout there. And it's this is all inclusive. This is not just Cody Williams NCAA tournament version, because if it was, that version probably isn't going to get a very kind scout because he wasn't very good in the first couple games. He played much better in the last one. But yeah, check that out. There's all kinds of good stuff over there with that. A couple people asked, like, hey, you're not going to do the NCAA tournament, you know, games the rest of the way? I'm not, because there's only now Sweet 16. We're down to 8 games left in that round. Like, go. You can find the games pretty easy and the players to watch. It's only the first weekend that I do that for.
So guys, make sure you do go check out the Basketball Bulletin, basketballbulletin.substack.com. Great way to support us directly and get some great basketball content there. I've got something new that's going to be coming out. I believe probably first thing tomorrow, I'll put that out there. And then Bryce has got all these great breakdowns that are on there. There's game notes, all kinds of stuff that's going on there. So go check out the Basketball Bulletin. Keith, I think that wraps things up for today. But man, we're almost here. Postseason.
Close it out. conversation from earlier, the NBA has also now confirmed that the Celtics have clinched the top seed in the East.
So, okay. So there it is. So it's official. So ESPN.
Whatever that tiebreaker was, that tiebreaker is either no longer or whatever it is, but that part is done. So yes, if you have tickets to a Celtics game, you're probably not seeing the full roster. But probably my guess is over the last 11 games, assuming Drew Holiday gets back, probably two or maybe three times, they'll play the whole roster. That's probably about it.
Agreed. Yep. All right. Well, thank you everybody for joining the show. Make sure you do subscribe to the NBA Front Office Show on YouTube as well as over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Till next time, everybody. See ya and stay safe.